back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And I'm Kyle.
So thanks for tuning in with us, and thanks for telling all of your dope friends to check us out, because that's kind of how this thing works.
You know, yeah, Kyle. It does work that way.
Pretty much. Awesome. Ever since we released the Stardust Ranch episodes, we've had tons and tons of positive feedback, so Kyle's going in again.
Let's go.
Going in again, part four. So after we get through this business, we're going to just fucking head right back down that rabbit hole. First, check us out at all your social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. There is a TikTok page that I never update because I'm not good at that. But search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and come and hang out with us. Share memes, weird stories you find, all that typical cool bullshit. Just go ahead and do that. That'd be dope. If you've got a paranormal encounter you'd like to share with us, Kyle's going to tell you how to do it.
You can record yourself on your smartphone, or probably your smartphone is probably the easiest way to do it. Tell us your story. Shoot it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You can also write your story out and we'll make Steve read it.
Hell yeah.
Because that's just what we do over here. And yeah, any way you can get us your story, we'll get it on the show. You know, whether it's on any of our social media or the email, just do that and we're good to go.
We got a couple ways you can support the show. We have a Patreon set up. Search up Hollow Sky Podcast. Go over there, find a tier you like. And you can support the show that way. Get some cool swag, some extra little episodes, mini episodes, where it's pretty much just me and Kyle talking trash. We also have a Venmo account.
Yeah.
That's it. If you want to hop on over and buy us a monster or 20.
1,000.
Throw some money in the Venmo. But the best way you can support us is jumping over to your podcatcher, wherever you listen to your podcast, and leaving us a rating and review, preferably 5 stars. But if not, understandable. We're not everybody's cup of tea. That being said, the last 2 weeks, our ratings and reviews have doubled, which it is fucking awesome.
Let's get it.
I'm probably going to get a bad rating for saying the F word, but
that's okay.
Whatever.
It's kind of who we are.
If you leave us a 5-star rating and review, we'll gladly shout you out. Today's 5-star comes from our friend Josh. It's 5 stars, highly entertaining. I highly recommend this to anyone, even if you aren't really into some of the topics, you'll find it entertaining. I'm always excited to see what the next episode brings. Awesome job, Kyle and Steve. Keep up the good work, Josh. Well, thanks, Josh, for taking the time to go over there and boost our egos a little bit.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Love hearing that. The thing that I missed that needs to be spoken on is shouting out our new patrons. That's kind of taken off too in the last 2 weeks. So thank you guys for the support. Our new patrons this week are Kyle, Steven, Ben, and Ricky. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. You don't know how much it means to us. It's definitely dope.
Absolutely.
On to our listener encounter of the day. This one comes from our friend Artemis. Here it is. It's a Bigfoot encounter.
Hey guys, this is Artemis. I just wanted to start by saying I love your guys' podcast. It's super entertaining and you guys are doing a great job. A friend recently referred me to it, and ever since I've been on a listening binge. But anyway, I have kind of a personal account about Bigfoot. So I'm 18 now, but when I was maybe 6 or 7, my family would go on camping trips, tent camping up in the forest, and one of our favorite spots was a place called Shelburne Falls up in the hills of Oregon. And it was pretty secluded. There weren't very many people that usually would be up there, but they had a pretty nice little campground. And so we would go tent camping up there, and it was one of my favorite places to go. My parents got married up there, and so I loved it. And anyway, this was when my little sister was a baby, and we would joke and call her Cougar Bait because she would constantly be crying. And so we're like, oh, cougar bait, she's gonna attract cougars, you know, just playing fun. Anyway, one night she was crying quite a bit, and apparently, so I did not know this, but later on, like just recently, my parents told me this story, and I had no idea that this is what had happened. But apparently Bigfoot doesn't like babies crying, so it will politely try to, or in most cases I think politely try to kind of warn you to basically shut up your baby, make it stop crying because they don't like the crying sound. And so apparently one night my sister was crying quite a bit, and my parents were in one tent with the baby, and me and my other siblings were in the other tent. And so we were all sleeping, but my dad said that he kept hearing this little tink, like on the tent wall, on the fabric, like a little pebble hitting the tent. And this was kept happening throughout the night, and he didn't really think too much about it. And then the next morning, he saw that there was a little pile of pebbles at the base of the tent, like where it had kept hitting and falling. And so just recently they've told me the story, and that he thinks that it was Bigfoot telling him to make the baby stop crying. And so I had no idea that that had even happened, but I wasn't scared at all camping up there, but we always kind of still, we believed in Bigfoot. I mean, we're from Oregon. I grew up watching the Bigfoot hunting TV show, and I absolutely loved it. We used to live on some forested acreage, and so we would go out on our deck at night and like do the Bigfoot calls across the lake just for fun. So I grew up doing that, and we just were Oregonians, so we're like, oh yeah, no, of course Bigfoot exists, but never seen anything. But I just kind of take my dad's word for it that was kind of a strange encounter, and that, I mean, he thinks that it was Bigfoot kind of telling us to make the baby stop crying. So yeah, that's just my short little story, sorry. So keep up the good work, guys. Love to hear more of your guys' podcasts. Bye.
First off, Artemis, thank you so much for submitting your story and all the kind words about the show. We're glad you like it. We're glad to have you on board, and we hope you enjoy everything else we do. Another note, I call Kyle cougar bait as well.
Yeah.
Anyway. What's up? Bringing it back around, I had never actually heard the Bigfoot baby correlation.
I haven't heard that either.
Which is interesting to me, because I think about how the Bigfoot doesn't like the baby crying, and then it makes me think about like Wendigo mimicking.
Yeah.
Baby crying. Maybe these two are like
mortal enemies.
Natural nemesis out in the wild.
That is a fantastic thought process. Because right
that was
now,
the first thing I was thinking when
all I think about is Bigfoot, Wendigo, and the Mortal Kombat theme music.
Yeah, that's
pretty awesome.
It's the only actual answer.
It is,
I do appreciate you bringing that up, because I'm gonna look deeper into it, because I'd never heard of it before. But that was the first place my mind went to when you were talking about how you had heard that. The Bigfoot wants to deter the baby crying.
Yeah.
It's almost like if the Wendigo uses the baby mimicking to lure people into the woods as potential victims, the Bigfoot, in turn, is trying to protect humans from potential Wendigo attacks.
That would be interesting.
I'm way off track.
I mean, it's interesting, to say the least.
I am.
Without doubt. Another thing that is a possibility, instead of it being more annoyed by the baby cry itself, Bigfoot does throw shit at people who enter its territory. So maybe it was more of a territorial thing, and the baby cry would have obviously given away the position of everybody, you know? And that's just another thought as well. But it does... I mean, it does add up that it very well could have been a Bigfoot in at least the vicinity, kind of messing with you guys. The only thing that I wish you would have added to the story was at the end of your story, you said that you guys will stand on the porch and do Bigfoot calls. You should have totally added a Bigfoot call.
Yeah. If you call back in and give us a dope ass Bigfoot call, we'll totally put it on the show.
Absolutely.
100%.
And then I'm just going to put it on a bullhorn and stick it out Steve's window and call Bigfoot.
We'll put it on the mixer and we'll play it every time we talk about a Bigfoot.
Yes.
That'd be sick as fuck.
Winning.
But I do know kind of that fear of being out in the woods and in just a tent, which, you know, provides zero shelter whatsoever. When me and my youngest boy went on a Boy Scout camping trip 2 years ago, 2018, yeah, two and a half, something like that. Anyway, we're out in the middle of nowhere in Missouri with the Boy Scout troop. And I've told the story before on the show, so just fast forward if you don't want to hear it again. But it was probably, we were sleeping in a tent. I woke up at about, I don't know, probably 2:30. It was late. And I woke up to wood knocks and series of threes out in the middle of the fucking woods where nobody else should be. I mean, yeah, I was in a Boy Scout camp. Could have been Boy Scouts doing Boy Scout shit, wood knocking. I don't know. It was weird, though. It kind of sent shivers down my spine knowing that I don't have any shelter. Well, I about gathered Maddox up and was like, hey, let's go sleep in the car, dog. Let's get the fuck out of here.
You just would have had to fist fight it.
That was the same time that I punched whatever was trying to get in the tent.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it was probably Bigfoot.
Trying to get the Nutter Butters.
It was probably Bigfoot.
Don't fuck with the Nutter Butters.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with that logic at all.
But yeah, definitely an interesting story. If I'm curious, since you do live in the Pacific Northwest, do you have any other accounts as well? Or has your dad, I know your dad was the one that recounted this story, have they had any other run-ins with possible squatchy activity? It'd be interesting to know, since we live in the middle of the Midwest. We're kind of squatchy here, but
in
nothing.
In Suckville.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, thanks for submitting your story, and thanks for supporting the show.
Yeah, we appreciate it a lot.
Glad to have you aboard. So now, Kyle's about ready to take us back to fucking Stardust. So before we get there, you know what time it is.
A word from our unofficial sponsors.
Yeah, are you listening, Monster? Are you fucking listening yet?
Refreshing.
It is. It smells crispy. Well, Kyle, take it away, dog.
Yeah, I'll do my best. It is interesting that so many people have really dug the Stardust story. I mean, me and Steve said it is one of our favorite paranormal stories because there's just so much. Everything is in it, everything. And, you know, we did a three-parter, and a lot of the experiences that I covered in the first three sections are pretty well known, in my opinion, as far as his story is concerned, because I've heard those sections before. Now, I decided to go ahead and write another part, and you may get one more part out of this. I'm not sure yet, but it's absolutely ridiculous because, so I dive back in where we had left off, and he says in the book, John, he's like, all right, so for those who have stuck with us to this point, this is where things start to get weird.
And me, like, this is where it starts to get weird, John?
That's what he claims.
You were swinging gray aliens like a Louisville Slugger and also fighting them with samurai swords after you took your interdimensional doppelganger on a dinner date.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets weird.
This is where it gets weird.
Fucking perfect.
To be fair, it kind of does. Like, it is, I don't think it's as fantastic as like some of his original stories, but it's more of like a proof crazy type situation. Like, it, it's definitely weird. So
I've not to interject, but I am interjecting.
Let's go.
I did manage to get John's email.
Let's go.
So I was thinking about maybe trying to contact him, see if he wanted to come on the show and talk, if that's something that you guys would want to listen to, if you're interested in. I know this dude has probably told his story fucking 50 million times.
Oh, I'm sure.
So we thought maybe if he was interested, we can just kind of,
get him on and just shoot the shit, really.
Yeah, just give him the mic. Let him do what he wants to do. So, I don't know. Hit us up if that's something you guys want me to do. Reach out to John, see if he wants to come on and talk, if that's something you guys think is dope. Four is yours again, Kyle.
I would think that's pretty cool. But anyways, so John goes on to explain how over the years, you know, the abductions were constantly happening. The markings on his body were ever consistent. And he notes his little fun fact that he's killed a lot of grays.
That is a statement that I'll never get tired of hearing.
No, not at all. And then he also goes on to state that he doesn't feel bad about killing the little bastards either. And he says little bastards.
He's such a fucking hard ass.
I'm telling you, like, I love it. But he also goes on to state at this point that he doesn't kill them anymore. In fact, he has made peace with the quote-unquote little bastards. And it's not like they came to a peaceful agreement. It's just like he kind of got over it. And he gave out a context in like, you know, stick your hand in a badger's hole and see if you don't get bit. Like, this, like what they were fighting was more of like territorial based than like a, like it's getting personal type situation. You know, he's like walking to a den of wolves.
Bro, they tried to kidnap your wife.
That is true. This is how he's rationalizing it, not me.
Maybe it was more personal for her than it was for him.
Maybe, I don't know.
They probably thought it was personal when he was bashing their fucking heads off the
That's what I'm saying, walls. Dude. So, in July of 2011, John was contacted by a Dr. Brandy. Now, apparently a third party was the one that hired her, and she was hired with the intention to help John with his current situation and dealing with the Greys, because the Greys are just, once he made that like first contact with them, they're just forevermore. They're constantly around. They're constantly messing with him and just kind of fucking up his day, really. So a little insight on who this Dr. Brandy was. She was obviously a person that had a different look on the world and how she could help it. Her studies included herbology, pharmacology, nutrition, aromatherapy, iridology, homeopathy, polarity therapy, acupressure, kinesiology, reflexology, healing, vibrational therapies and remedies, animal communication, spiritual intuitive guidance, and bereavement assistance.
That is quite a fucking resume.
I'm telling you, and it's kind of ridiculous in the doctor field, because like I'm reading this, and when I got to reflexology, I'm like, do you assholes just put ology after everything?
We're podcastologists.
Yeah, and I'm an expert in toeology.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking monsterologist.
There you go. It's just, I don't know, it's just ridiculous. So anyways,
I redact that F word for anyone that it offends.
No, apologize. So you know, John, he's just like, screw it, let's set a date. When we're gonna set this date for July 31st. Now at this point it kind of spins around and decides to dive into the individual that hired Brandy, and her name was a one Cynthia T. Crawford. Now, this lady is a damn mystery in herself. She was born a fraternal twin, but she had different blood and tissue from her twin sister. Not only that, she was also the first child to be born without an amniotic sac.
Weird.
Yeah, so she has no amniotic sac. She has a different blood type than her twin sister and different tissue type. So this is mind-boggling for me. All right, so Cynthia's story kind of officially starts with her father, and he, as a matter of fact, worked for the OSS during World War II. And for those of you who are kind of unfamiliar with the OSS was basically the CIA before the CIA.
What does OSS stand for?
Oh, I forgot.
Let me look it up.
Anyways.
Carry on, sorry.
He goes on to briefly explain how the Nazis were, in fact, in contact with aliens, and they were even creating UFOs for themselves.
Selfish.
So the Nazis were basically in direct contact with these aliens, and these aliens were assisting them in building UFOs. And according to Cynthia's father, the Nazis had made a deal with the Draco reptilians of the Draco star system. These are the exact...
Of course they did.
Right. These are the exact same reptilians that David Icke was talking about. And according to John, these reptilians have played in a massive role in the formation of our planet. Like, it's so much so to the point that in our daily lives, you can't tell what's theirs and what's ours anymore. They've influenced us that much.
That's creepy.
It is.
For those wondering, the OSS is the Office of Strategic Services.
There you go. I knew it was strategic something.
I did my research.
Good job. Good job.
What were the name of those reptilians?
The Draco reptilians from the Draco star system.
Fuck yes.
It's wild, dude.
Perfect.
So Cynthia's father, no doubt, was in the loop when it came to the Nazis and what they were doing. Even more so, when the Nazis shut shop and fled to Antarctica, because apparently, according to John and his research with Cynthia's father, like, they were just like, yeah, the Nazis actually didn't lose World War II. What actually ended up happening was the Nazis were just like, you know what? I think we're done with this little thing that we got going on here. We're going to go ahead and pack up shop, and we're going to go to Antarctica, where really interesting shit is going on. Which, I mean, there is a trail, you know, suggesting that he did move down that way, Hitler and the Third Reich and all that shit.
Check out our episode on Antarctica.
Let's go. Anyways, Cynthia's father was obviously in deep. You know, he was all... And then at this point, he was offered a job. And this job was real ludicrous. I mean, it was insanity. So Cynthia had no idea about this secret job that her dad was taking part in until about her 30s, when her father decided to come clean about what he had been doing. Take a wild guess of what that mission job was, Steve.
UFO stuff?
Close. Well, you remember how I said Cynthia was a fraternal twin and she didn't have the same blood type or tissue type as her sister?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, Cynthia is actually an alien-human hybrid. And the OSS...
Why wouldn't she be?
...actually created her from two different alien races. And then combined it with human DNA. So she has three different types of DNA inside her.
Did we look into this before?
I don't know.
I think I watched a YouTube video with this woman talking.
You might have.
I watch a lot of weird shit on YouTube.
Yeah, a lot more than me.
She was definitely going hard about being an alien hybrid.
This is probably her then.
It might be a Netflix documentary. I don't know. Like I said, I watch some weird shit, but this is like some deja vu.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me because apparently she's a pretty big name in this field.
Yeah.
No, I mean, she has some pretty big claims. So, you know, she's literally claiming that she's an alien-human hybrid.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
I mean, I don't have any reason not to trust her.
Exactly. So, you know, in the story here, this takes a little bit of a swerve, but I do believe that applies to current situations of ours. So here we go. John goes into how people, when they hear about this, and by this I mean the secret mission and the alien-human hybrid creation, I guess, that they automatically think that it is nefarious and evil. Well, he explains how every human is linked through a collective consciousness. After so long of being lied to, everyone begins to believe and realize they are being lied to. They might not have like definitive proof, like they could actually accuse people and they have documentation of being lied to, but it's like this sixth sense, like this feeling, like, you know what? I feel like these people are lying to us. I feel like we're being tricked here and duped. And, you know, by what John's saying is that because we're all connected on this consciousness level, is we're all assisting each other in figuring this out. Well, and I have heard this several times, but apparently this is a real thing, and the intelligence communities of our country and the world know about it, and they know how to mitigate this problem. And what they'll do is they leak their information to Hollywood, who then transplants these situations into movies. So like your Independence Day and just all these weird fucking movies.
Art imitating life.
Right. And it's like a way of being like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's like
desensitizing us.
Yeah, it's like easing your worry. And that's what he goes on to explain, is that what they're doing is they're showing it to you, and by doing this, it takes pressure off the hinges where people are just like, oh, I was just being a little paranoid, you know? I mean, it's in a freaking movie. Obviously, it's fake. I'm not really being tricked by the government. I'm not being monitored 24/7. You know, it's just movie stuff, you know. This must be where my thoughts are coming from.
Or when they come out and they're like, hey, UFOs are real. Everyone's like, oh, all right.
I mean, I've seen Independence Day.
Yeah.
Will Smith kicked their ass. So if Will Smith can do it, I probably can't, but somebody else probably can.
Will Smith still can.
I know. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
I mean, if he teamed up with
It would be a good angle to take to desensitize the public.
Right. And we've had studies before where you found that video where the military was going to use something for like a recruitment or
It was almost like a Space Force, but before the Space Force.
Right. Yeah, it was weird.
I wish I would have paid attention when I found that.
Yeah, me too. Anyways.
Story of my life.
Back to the crazy stuff. So John goes on to explain how the world itself changed during World War II. That everything about it was a lie except a very select few things. Even the reasons we went to war were not told to the human race. And apparently no one won that war, like I was stating, that the Nazis just packed up and were like, yeah, we're just gonna head on down to Antarctica and check things out down there. But back with Cynthia, when she was a child, she was always going to medical facilities that were ran by clandestine military operations. She was put through alien abductions, examinations, impregnations, impossible healings, and also complete organ transplants. Now, Cynthia believes she was brought to this planet to help. And the theory with that is that by mixing the DNAs that she had, so she had the two alien parts to one human part, and then they would use a frequency. It kind of runs back to like what we've talked about in the past about spirits in general, your soul or whatever label you want to call it, but it's energy. It's forever. You know, it never goes away. And by activating this frequency, it can more or less kind of beckon a call to the universe and have, which in this case would be Cynthia's, we'll just say soul, and it draws it into the body that they have created, if that makes sense. It's kind of hard to wrap your brain around.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and that's what she's claiming, that her essence is actually from the universe itself. It's like from somewhere else.
Like a satellite.
Yeah. It's from somewhere else. And that's what they claim with these superior alien races, is that they use reincarnation. Like reincarnation for them is 100% real. The only difference is to what we view as reincarnation in them is a little bit different, because they are actually able to retain their knowledge. That's how they just keep advancing, because they can, once they're, you know, this body dies, they go to another body, but they retain all that previous knowledge. So yeah. They just keep on trucking.
It's like an RPG. You keep leveling up. Exactly. As opposed to when you die, having to start over.
Exactly.
Nerd shit.
Nerd shit. So
we need to make a shirt that says nerd shit.
Hell yeah. So she was, you know, she was brought to the planet, but unfortunately in 2017, she went to the ranch and she met John, and she sat down and shared a conversation with him. And John goes on to say that, like, her visit with him was just one in a million. Like, he'll never forget sitting down and being able to communicate with her. But when she came to that ranch, she had 3 brain tumors, and she knew she was going to die. So, and John says it wasn't much longer after they sat down and had their conversation, she passed away.
That sucks.
It does suck.
It's almost like that was her last big purpose.
Yeah. I know. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Get in touch with John.
Yep. So Cynthia, that was kind of her backstory. And like I said, she was the one that hired this Brandy to come help John with his situation. And so here we go. This is the cool, weird shit.
So was John in contact with the Greys before Cynthia?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like him fighting the Greys and shit?
No, I meant like on an intellectual level.
No, no.
So this all, she's the gateway to this.
Not Cynthia. It's this Brandy girl.
Oh, gotcha.
But
gotcha,
Cynthia knew of Brandy. She put Brandy in, she connected the dots for John.
All right.
Like I said, Cynthia hired Brandy. She told Brandy that John was being attacked by a group of rogue Greys. Now, apparently, Brandy herself had been abducted since she was 4. And whatever these abductors did to Brandy, it gave her the ability to confront negative aliens. And I mean, it sounds wild, but at this point, you're here and it's not that wild, right?
No, we're this is fucking part 4.
Right, exactly.
That's not wild.
Exactly. So Brandy was ordered to go out to the ranch, and she brought 2 warriors from the constellation Sirius. And these warriors, they were Sirians, and they were badasses. They carried straight up medieval broadswords. That was their choice. And dude,
which sounds a lot like old boy who was living on the ranch prior to.
Yeah, he even makes a mental note of it. He's like, I mean, when he first met him, he was kind of like dumbstruck. He was just like, holy shit, these guys are carrying straight up medieval. Like, when he saw these swords, he was like, I don't even know where you would get a sword like that. They look authentic. They look legit.
Like alien fighting swords?
Yeah. So, but John made that mental connection with his sword. He was like, and I'm not even going to get into the odds of a legit samurai sword falling off the back of somebody's truck one day, and that's what was successful in dismantling Greys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It at this point, it just makes sense.
That's where I'm at. But here's just like the funny little fucking side note, is that the 2 badass Syrians, the warriors carrying these big ass broadswords, their names were Jay and Jay. And I just thought that was hilarious.
Like
that,
Men in Black, Agent Jay.
Yeah, but they were both Jay.
Yeah. Kate was probably another taken.
Synchronicity Will Smith connection. This is getting strange.
I bet Will Smith is the actual owner of Stardust Ranch.
I wouldn't doubt that. Wouldn't doubt it at all.
That's the kicker. That's the M. Night twist at the end of this. Will Smith owns Stardust Ranch. I got to fucking figure it out, dog.
I believe you.
Shut it down.
Yeah, we're done.
That's episode.
Episode done. No more story. No, but anyways, so on their way up to the ranch, Brandy and these two warriors, there was a group of strange clouds. And these strange clowns were pointed out to Brandy, and she was like, hey, bro, those aren't clouds. And it was like the second she acknowledged that those weren't clouds, they decloaked, and they were alien spaceships.
I am never going to say that. If I see questionable clouds, I'm not going to be like, those aren't clouds.
And
if that's all it takes.
Well, like, you also got to think that, and what these craft were, so these craft were backup. They were with the Syrians.
What?
Yeah, so she had the two Syrians with her to help deal with the rogue set of Greys on John's property.
And the Syrians have...
backup.
Alien backup.
Yeah, because they're aliens. They're from the Sirius constellation. And what's fucked up? What's fucked
bro,
up?
Bro, when you said Syrians, I thought you meant, like, from Syria.
No, no. No, I said constellation Sirius. I mean, you nailed it. That's exactly what they are. Makes, out of the park.
It fucking makes so much more sense now.
Okay, good.
Like, I'm glad. Where do these Syrians get you alien backup? All right.
Freaking dude, nailed that.
I'm over here looking at reptilian shit. I'm finding alien reptile cult linked to murder. So I'm like,
that's
just
awesome.
Fucking digging through here. And I'm like, oh, well, clearly they're from Syria if they're Syrians.
Obviously. Anyways, so.
We're on the same page now.
All right, finally. So, you know, these they decloak to show their presence. And they're like, yo, we got your backs. There's four of us up here, four ships. We're straight. It's good. And then they cloak themselves again to remain as clouds and be inconspicuous.
Of course.
So
just a flash. Just, hey, yo, we're here. I'm like, man, if the fucking Syrians have UFO backup, damn. USA needs to get some alien backup.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
But no, we're square now.
But side note.
I am an idiot.
Side note here that I didn't really write about, but I remembered. Is that it's really weird because the Syrians, have you ever seen the Netflix TV show called Travelers?
Negative.
No, damn it. Well, it's not going to be very helpful. Anyways, I'm sure there's some of you out there who have seen that, and apparently that's how these Syrians operate. So in the TV show Travelers, and it apparently was in K-Pax and some other movies and shit, but like when... in Travelers, when somebody was on the verge of death. So just say you're getting ready to have a heart attack and you have like that, oh.
One too many monsters.
You know, we'll just say you have a timer above your head and it shows you got about 20 seconds to live. Well, when in the first and the last couple seconds, this person would take your body over right before you die. I mean, because they figure... you're going to die. Your body is going to waste. So I'm going to intercept your body now and live it through. You know, basically prevent you from having the heart attack, but your essence is now gone. Apparently, that's kind of what these Syrians do. That's how they get here, I guess. It's just a weird connection.
You probably don't even have an answer, but does your essence just stop existing or does it move on to...
That's a good question.
Does it move on to a different body? K-Pax is a pretty good movie, too.
I would imagine that it kind of moves on.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to the actual ranch situation. So Brandy and the Syrians are walking around, and she started to notice a vibration coming from nearby, and she pointed it out, she pointed out to the Jays, saying this is where the negative aliens congregate, and it was underground. They were drawn to the rogue aliens were drawn to the ranch for its positive energy, which confused John because he was like, well, wait a minute. If these are asshole aliens, why are they drawn to positive energy? Wouldn't it be more likely they'd be drawn to negative energy? Well, it gets explained to John that positive energy is the energy needed to create everything. Just everything, literally everything. So whether it's bad or a good entity, it needs this to create things and to move forward. So that's why they are actually drawn to it. You know, so they kind of get past this point, and John is just kind of like, he's just dumbstruck by everything that's going on. He's like, you know what? How about we just go walk around inside the house? We'll just start there, okay?
Let's cut right to the chase.
Right. So they all go inside, and Brandy kind of gets walking around the house, and she walks into a particular room. Now, if you remember from the first or second episode where the young boy committed suicide, right? She picked up on this right away. And she's like, all right, there was a young man who committed suicide here, and we are going to help him move on. So her and the Jays began to pray, and she said what they were doing was sending as much love his way that they possibly could. As they were doing this, John was standing up against the wall watching them, and he said that the wall started to heat up, and he said it felt, the wall felt so hot that he thought his house was going to catch on fire. And then not long after that, he heard a voice from nowhere say, that was the most love that I've ever felt. And then it disappeared. And that's when she said he had moved on.
I wonder if his spirit being trapped in the house has anything to do with any of the other extraterrestrial...
I don't think so. I think because they...
Or is this spot just a hot spot for fucking everything?
Well, it's because there's portals on the property is why it's such a hot spot.
That'll do it. Was it Stardust that when they had the priest and stuff come in, they were all physically sick? Did they state as to whether Brandy or the Jays got any
physical
ailments while they were there?
Nope.
They're probably ready for it.
Later on in the story, the Jays do get fucked up.
That sucks.
Like not, yeah, it's pretty bad for them. But she clears that. And in the book, which I recommend everyone read because it is a really, really, really good read. I don't care what anybody says. They go on to explain why love helped him move on. And that, because John recounts how he feels like a dick, that he's like, this poor kid has tormented himself for all these years, and there wasn't anything that I could do to help him. And she comes in, and she's just like, listen, all you have to do is send him as much love as you need. Because I guess the way she explained it was that when you die tragic like that, the only way that you can move forward is by accepting what you did and getting over it and just loving yourself, even though what you did was wrong. It's just kind of like you need to accept it. Like you've got to get past this. And he was so messed up that he just always relived that moment and was just hard on himself, basically, which trapped him there. So right after this case, you know, they leave the room, and John's like, all right, I want to take you over here where I think there's a portal. So they go in there, they sit down. She's like, all right, I want everybody to sit down in a circle, and I'm gonna do some stuff here. So, which this is kind of weird because it kind of skims over it, but she apparently creates a portal and these beings come through it, right?
The Grays?
No, it was somebody else. I would assume that it was more Syrians because whatever came through, and he said what she created was like a globe, and then it was like, I picture, like, you remember that moment in Star Wars where they're playing that, like, digital chess?
I've only seen, like, one Star Wars.
Oh, really?
I'm going to get butchered online for saying that.
It was one of the old ones, the OG ones. But just imagine like a hologram chess game going on. John is like, is basically like that. Like, she manifested like a hologram looking sphere. And two beings came out. And the beings that came out, or no, three beings came out. And they were all wearing breastplates and armor. And they were also carrying swords. Dope. Right? So, could you imagine that? Just somebody, a woman's in your living room and she's like, all right, sit down. I'm going to do some stuff. She opens up a portal and OG, like, badass warriors walk out.
I can't imagine it. And Kyle would go get in his car and drive the fucker away. As soon as that portal would open, Kyle would say, deuces. And
yeah, I'm out of here. But it would be cool to see, like, straight up OG warriors walk out. Like, as long as they weren't ready to fight you, it would be all right.
Well, yeah, nothing you can do anyway.
No. I mean, they're wearing breastplates, body armor, and carrying big-ass swords.
Max body spray.
I hope. I hope.
That but, is...
Yeah, it just, it'd be...
They need to make a fucking movie.
I'm telling you. Out of it. And that's what, like, I can't reiterate enough that, like, if you read the book, it's crazy. Like, it's crazy. And I realize that, you know, John did not write the book. It was obviously written by somebody who may pretty up words and stuff, but I don't know. Like, and it's such a, like, fantastic story that it would be really hard for one person to just completely make it all up, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere.
Yeah, 100%. I'm on board with that.
And, I mean...
I hope it's real.
I do, too. I mean, In my heart, I feel like John's telling the truth.
I'm not trying to fight Grays.
But it wouldn't... It,
but if I have backup of intergalactic warriors, then I probably would.
That's what I'm saying. And
it's weird that the most efficient way to dispatch them...
is with swords.
Is a fucking sword.
Right. I never would have guessed. Or you just use them as a baseball bat. And, I mean, that's what kind of gives me hope, is that if John can punch a Gray in the head, that means that I can punch a Gray in the head. So, fuck with me, bro.
Let's use our Patreon money to buy swords.
They got to be, like, legit swords. They can't be no cheap-ass
fake swords.
Bud K magazine swords.
Some fucking Spencer's Gift swords. Yeah. Just hang them up in your house.
That's what I'm saying. They can't be those. They gotta be real. Which, that would be amazing to have a real samurai sword.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I would hang that on my wall.
We should probably get new microphones first.
Yeah. Yeah, so for everybody that's supporting us, that's what you're gonna be buying or helping us buy.
Samurai swords.
Samurai sword microphones.
But we're not going off topic here. We are actually going to wrap this episode up. We're already pushing an hour. So yeah,
sorry about that.
You're going to have to tune in again.
Sorry.
There's going to be so much Stardust Ranch, you're just going to get sick of hearing about it.
I hope so.
It's going to be dope.
It will be like John's legit full story. But in my opinion, I'm not doing the book any justice. So go read his book. It is amazing. I even talked Steven to buying it.
And the Syrians are not from Syria. They're from the...
Good way to drop the ball. Dropping the ball, dog.
I am dumb as shit.
Dropping the ball.
But anyway, until next time, which for us is going to be about 5 minutes from here, come back and hang out with us at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. Thanks for taking the time to tune in and listen to us. Thanks for telling all your friends. Thanks for making this week fucking crazy the last 2 weeks.
It's been awesome.
It's unreal.
It's been a wild ride.
You guys are the best. So until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and if a woman wants to open a portal inside your house and you let her, I hope that the beings that come through the portal are the good ones and not the bad ones. Yeah.